We're going to do a lot in the device realm. If you think about Android or Chrome OS, these are devices that were born of the cloud. So Google Apps tends to be the first thing people know and think about. You know, all of a sudden switching to Gmail as your email platform, which millions of businesses and many, many thousands of schools have done, that tends to be the first place people start. But we intend to bring all of our research and development, all our capabilities to the product set.
And I want to touch on Google Apps and specifically this Gmail and mail in the cloud question in a second. But talk a little bit about the cloud itself, because there seem to be so many definitions out there. And some people are saying this is basically just virtualization. How do you guys define cloud, and why is cloud important? Why are we spending so much time talking about it?
Well, cloud is important because it's probably the biggest change in technology that's ever happened, probably larger than the transition from mainframes to client-server or PCs or to wireless networks. Those were all transformational changes in technology, but I think cloud computing...
Because I've heard some people say it harkens back to essentially a mainframe system where there was a big central computer. It's just that central computer is now through the Internet.
Right. Notionally, it does go back to that world where the information is stored, quote-unquote, centrally. But the technology is radically different these days. That was a very closed, proprietary world where you had to stand in line to get access to the mainframe.
And that's what freaked everyone out about it, largely.
Well, that's why PCs took off so quickly, is because you didn't have to stand in line to get access. But today, you know, this is an open platform. This is the web. And so while there are some, you know, echoes from the past, I think it is fundamentally different because it's a liberating platform as opposed to one that keeps people and keeps information captive. So we are very excited about the cloud. I think virtualization of your servers, consolidation of your data centers are all well and good. We think that has very little to do with cloud computing.
So cloud computing is?
Cloud computing for us has a few key aspects to it. First of all, as someone who uses cloud computing, you don't own it. You essentially use, you don't have to pay for it up front. You don't have to own the technology. So it's really hosted by somebody else. And to us, that's pretty fundamental. If someone offers to build you a cloud, to me, that's a non sequitur. Just because I heard somebody say the other day, just because you own a private jet doesn't make you an airline. And cloud computing is really about doing things at massive scale on shared infrastructure. So at Google, we believe we have the largest compute infrastructure in the world by a significant margin, and we can add users and capabilities to it at a very, very low cost, and you can get all the benefits of redundancy and low cost and the sharding of our data and the resiliency of our systems, and you don't have to pay for it all up front. You don't have to invest your capital expenditures. And to us, that's pretty fundamental to cloud computing.
And a whole bunch of aspects in there that just freak government agencies out, sharing infrastructure, the security notions that go into there. How do you, and I know you've been working on a lot of these areas, how do you get folks to believe, to say, what are the advantages that may dissuade from the disadvantages that they at least perceive?
Well, it's important for us to say we believe the cloud and cloud computing is actually more secure than systems that people have today. If you think about a cluster of systems sitting in a basement somewhere, which is how the city of LA had their email system on a rack of servers sitting in the basement of City Hall, you compare that to the capabilities and the infrastructure Google has to protect it in our data centers and the way we shard and spray data across lots of servers so no information is stored on a single server. When you add up all the pieces and parts, I think we absolutely believe cloud computing is more secure than legacy computing environments, and we believe we have the facts to prove that. We've been working with the General Services Administration to get our FISMA certification, which we expect very shortly, and we will be the first multi-tenant, large-scale cloud infrastructure company that will have certification by the U.S. government via FISMA. So I think we're making great strides towards educating and helping people understand what cloud computing is and the fact that security actually is a benefit. It's not a detraction. We don't believe it'll be, over the long haul, viewed as a negative. It is, in fact, and will be viewed over time as a positive.
The FISMA certification, which I know has been an arduous process, but seems like something that really could be a big deal.
For sure. One thing the administration has done quite well is to sort of centralize the effort. It used to be that everyone who wanted to look at, every agency that wanted to look at using a vendor for anything would have to deal with their own form of FSMA certification or validation. And the administration has really pushed it to be a more centralized model. So somebody like Google or others in cloud computing can go, you know, to one place and achieve FSMA certification. And I think that's actually going to help a lot, because sometimes it's not really the technology problem. It's the procurement and the logistics of how to get through the process that hold back the government's use of technology. So I think there's been some good strides in that regard.
So we've seen this outsourcing of email, particularly at the state and local level, schools big doing it, City of LA, City of Orlando, Florida. Haven't seen it as much in the federal space.
I think for sure a lot of the federal agencies, we have dozens of agencies that have been testing and looking at Google Apps. I think having FSMA certification has been sort of the thing they all wanted. The decision of who has to approve and is it okay is really kind of a difficult and nebulous question for a lot of folks who see the benefits, want to take advantage of it, but they, of course, have to be responsible to the law and to their users. And I think FSMA certification really is the sort of starting gun that a lot of people have been waiting for.
Can you walk us through the decision process? And I know it's hard to step back and be objective, because you can't be objective. You're trying to sell something. But walk us through the process. That what are agencies struggling with? Part of it is, I think, this inherently governmental. Everyone says, hold on, this is my email that I'm going to not have control over.
I think there's a lot of fear, uncertainty, and doubt about cloud computing, for sure. But most of the people, I think a couple of years ago, people worried about, you know, how this email was run. Would it be reliable? What features and functions did it have? Would my users like it? Nobody asked those questions anymore. In fact, most of the discussion is about who has to approve this. So we're at the point where I don't think there are doubts about the technology. I don't think there are doubts about the cloud as a much more viable, affordable, responsible way to spend your money and to store your data. But there are definitely still questions lingering about who has to approve this. I want to make absolutely sure that this is a decision that I am empowered to make. And so I think that those are all means we're headed in the right direction. And you always need those first ones that are going to say, yes, this is fine. We're doing this. We're successful. That's why we put a lot of energy into making, you know, the city of Los Angeles successful. They now have more than 10,000 users on Google Apps, and it's working quite well there. And this is really the path forward. Is you have to get more and more believers on board, and pretty soon it just becomes obvious.
Microsoft has stepped up its offerings in this realm as well. And they now have essentially a cloud offering for Microsoft Exchange and Word and all the whole suite of stuff. Why wouldn't I just use that, because I have Microsoft stuff in my, probably have Microsoft stuff in there anyway. Why not just do that rather than move over to a whole new platform?
Well, Microsoft's a great company, and we have a lot of respect for them. But what they are really offering is what you might call the dedicated cloud, which to us is not a cloud at all. It means, you know, if anybody, as I said, if anybody says to you, we'll build you a cloud, to us that's not a cloud, because you own it. You're not benefiting from shared infrastructure, the scale, the fact that every single user is on the same version of the software. So in our view, Microsoft is taking steps toward the cloud, but they have a long way to go. And we come from a different place, which is we are all about the cloud. So we think we have some great advantages there.
How difficult is the transition if an agency were to go there? You've done it with LA, you've done it with Orlando. How difficult is this transition? How hard is it to get from point A to point B?
Most organizations find the technical transition shockingly easy. Our goal is always you can do this in less than 90 days. And we've had organizations with tens of thousands of people move everybody to Google in less than 90 days. We have this. We've done it now with many, many large organizations, both public and private sector. We are very formulaic about it, and frankly, we take ownership of making sure it's a success. So Google is there on day one, on Monday morning, when your tens of thousands of employees, perhaps around the country or around the world, come in and they're on Google. We want to make that a quiet day of celebration, and not a day of chaos or disruption or anything like that. And we have a great track record in doing that. So this is not a 2-year, you know, bring the consultants in a school bus and, you know, start start paying out the dollars for consulting fees. This is fast and easy to get into the cloud.
And by that, it seems like this is somewhat disruptive to the business model that has gone on in this town for a long time. There are a lot of companies around the Beltway that have made business of running email systems and rolling those kinds of things out and make sort of their regular money doing that. You must have gotten a lot of pushback from those kinds of people.
Well, the cloud model is definitely driving changes for those who are service providers or solution providers, but there's a great opportunity for them as well. In the old world, you know, a dollar of license led to $7 or $8 of services, and that naturally by the service industry was viewed as a good thing, but not necessarily great for customers. And when you're just talking about simple things like email and calendaring and such, that formula falls apart very quickly. In fact, it's probably quite the opposite. It's not very hard to get onto these systems. So they aren't necessarily the end game either. What Google is really developing alongside its core applications is a platform that is going to let partners do all sorts of things, implementing custom business applications, tying together applications from multiple cloud vendors, building unique applications for an agency. So we actually really aim to work with the solution providers out there because, just to be clear, Google will never be, nor do we aim to be, a solution provider, quote unquote. We want to be very good at delivering our core services and our technology platform in a secure and reliable manner, but we absolutely want to work with the large service providers who really understand how to, you know, implement technology for the government.
We're here at the Gov 2.0 Expo. Talk a little bit about how Google fits into the whole Gov 2.0 framework. What is Google's place in that?
Well, I think Gov 2.0 means a lot of things, and cloud computing is part of it, and open source is part of it. So I think it really is a bit of a reset of how the government thinks about technology and what it can learn, not just from the private sector, but, you know, maybe even going past the private sector in certain ways, as the government does at times. So from our perspective, you know, the government thinks about commercial off the shelf. Well, over on commercial side, Google's thinking about consumer off the shelf, right? So we're turning these into commercial grade products and then from there into government grade products without losing the economic efficiency, the innovation, the user centricity. But of course, layering in the things like security, reliability, data governance that are critically important. So we think there's an enormous opportunity here in Government 2.0, and we think Google, along with other technology providers, are obviously pretty central to it.
And one of the stories, one of my early dealings around Gov 2.0, before I think that term was even being widely used, was actually Conrad Cross, who's the CIO down in Orlando, Florida, and they moved all their applications over to Google Apps. But he was telling me his story that he was finding all his people sending their email off to their Gmail accounts where they had essentially unlimited storage. And he said, hold on, if they're doing it with mail applications, they're doing it with other applications, other things that they can do at home that they can't do at work. And that seems to be one of these big, real paradigm shifts that's gone on.
What really happened, you know, before Google turned these into enterprise applications is consumer technology just sprinted ahead of enterprise technology. You know, instant messaging, phones, things like the iPhone, email accounts like Gmail or Hotmail or what have you, they just sprinted ahead of the state of technology. So they started to leak their way into the, you know, around the careful watch of IT, they started to make their way into the corporate marketplace or into the, you know, into the workplace in general. And to some extent, IT either didn't know about it, or they allowed it, or in some cases they stomped it out. There's people that block instant messaging or block access to Gmail. So, you know, there's all sorts of reactions to it. The important thing, though, is you can see the power of that. You can see the power of that technology and the fact that it found its way into the workplace. What we have said is, okay, how do you take advantage of it but put IT in charge of it? Let them apply the policies, allow them to make decisions about who can share documents with whom, but allow their employees to get access to that great technology that they're already trying to get access to.
Let me have you take a step back and look at the government market, the federal government market specifically. What's your perspective of it? Google has been in this market for a couple of years now. What's your thoughts about it? Has it more complex than you thought when you jumped in?
I think that there are amazing people that absolutely want to do the right thing that many times feel powerless. And it's hard to ever say, you know, who is that person that's stopping the government from moving forward? Because almost everybody I tend to meet really wants to do things faster and finds themselves frustrated by a lack of clarity of who can decide what. And so I think there's phenomenal talent here. I think there's a great opportunity for a partnership, and Google is investing a lot into build a partnership with the U.S. government as a provider of technology, amongst many other things we do with the government. And I think it's great to see the current administration has pushed forward on trying to make it easier to adopt solutions like cloud computing. So it's very different. There's a whole layer and angle onto, you know, the U.S. government, of course, that doesn't exist in the private sector, and Google has to learn how to operate successfully there. We aren't, you know, by
it has to be a very different market for a company like Google.
Well, for sure, our DNA is computer scientists from Silicon Valley, right? This is a bit of a foreign land to us, so we're trying to learn to adapt. But I think our heart is in the right place. We have a lot of interest and compassion for the mission of the various parts of the U.S. government, and so we really do aim to be a great partner. But we certainly appreciate that we have more work to do, you know, to make the ends meet.
But it does seem like also, I mean, you talked about Google's mantra, which is to make the world information available to people, and who has more information, more data, hard data, than the federal government?
That's for sure. One of the initiatives we've had going for several years is to help the U.S. government make its data more accessible to its constituents. And, you know, government websites have always been largely difficult. They sometimes grow up like org charts as opposed to having a point of view of the user. So through many different venues, Google has worked to help governments at the federal level and also at the state level to deliver more information in an open way to its constituents. And we think that's a very healthy thing. And really, it's not for lack of desire. I think we found governments at all levels actually wanting to share more information. They just sort of needed the help on the technology side to do that. And that's something we've been doing, not as a commercial business in any sense, but just because it's really part of our mission.